Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. I'm already in the feeling of vacation, so chill shows until I leave. I'm already relaxing and starting to already enjoy the potential feeling of not having anything on my back to do, to work on for a month. That will be fun in April. Today, I realized how hard they're going to go after the Chinese. It's a new thing. I had found it funny when Brett Weinstein went on Tucker Carlson and did this whole Chinese migration at the southern border should be worrying. That was probably an early bird sign of what was to come. I think that they're about to just elevate China as an enemy, which is ridiculous to me. China has always been a country that is much more at peace than would be warranted by their size and by their number, has caused much less trouble than America across the world. Like, America should be its own enemy before it is the enemy of China. But they're going strong at it, and they will try turning people against the Chinese, which it has started. The Getter people were starting around this. A bunch of people around Trump were very anti-China, and they were associated with a Chinese billionaire who's been in exile. You had Alex Jones that has always been complaining about the Chai Coms. You had Brett Weinstein, who has went to investigate personally with a camera the Panama Canal and the passation of migrants at the southern border, and concluded there is something weird about Chinese people in South America trying to enter the U.S. And now we have even Ben Shapiro kind of mixing anti-Semitism complaints and China resistance in the whole TikTok story. To attack basically independent people like Jake Shields, saying, "Well, you're mixing anti-Semitic conspiracy theories and a national sentiment for China. It's not the same. It's kind of the same to me. The same fight that is happening in for the control of media cartels in the West" is also what's at play with TikTok. And it's also what's at play when they make you want to hate China. Rudy Lissid says, "The banning of TikTok is clearly because it is not beholden to Israel and China aren't brainwashed like the West is." Yeah, and so bizarrely, we find ourselves in a situation where China will be put at the forefront of the fight for liberty. And it's always been the narrative that it's an authoritarian place and it's wrong and we are the free world, they are the not free world. But bizarrely, we have become worse than China, and China might have a role in even liberating us at some point from our own elites. So I said, be wary that certain Western elites want you to hate and be suspicious of China in the next few years. We must take their every attempt at demonizing China and laugh to their face. They think they can deflect their responsibility for misdirecting our nations onto China's back. It's not China that has kept me from expressing my views on the vaccine. It's not China that's writing hit pieces about me, saying that I'm a hater. It's not China that is mismanaging the state technocracy of my country. It's not China that's pushing for a demographic change of my nation with the goal of reducing white people's representation of the population overall. It's not China that has caused, as far as I can see, any of the big problems of Western civilization. James says, "A generation has already been mind-fucked by TikTok." Yeah, but whether short-term video is good for the brain, that's a separate question. Because no question, I think the culture of short videos is very bad for attention and learning. and for people growing up, but we're not talking about a ban of YouTube Shorts. So if you're going to ban TikTok because of this reason, you should ban YouTube Shorts. You should ban any video content that is short. But that's not what we're doing. We are using an excuse to centralize control of censorship in the West. And that's a very bad idea. Girl expects her boyfriend to cover the cost of her 18 friends at her birthday dinner.
Like, you really just should have paid for all of our food.
One, I'm not paying for everybody's food. It's your birthday, cool, but I'm not doing that. It's 18.
Why don't you got to pay for all y'all food, though?
You brought...
Poor black male. He is stuck with the parasitism within. That is... The fight is always within. People were telling me this on my commentary about China. Whenever they try to make you look at an enemy outside, look at the enemy inside. The problem of Western civilization is not outside of Western civilization, it's inside. Same thing here. This guy had dinner with all these girls. Somehow 18 girls were expecting to all have their cost covered by this man. Now, I might pay for the close family. I might pay for children and wife. But I will never pay for friends of wife. Forget about it. If anything, I would pay if you stop being friends with them. But I certainly won't pay you to bring those friends in our lives. You have to pay me if you want me to hang out with 18 black women.
I'm gonna leave you. You been here with him or you coming with me?
You
are
you?
Whoa, bro!
Like, you really just should have paid.
All right. Well, people are saying it's a classic. Okay. Yeah. These videos are re-emerging constantly. Too spoiled. One of the most dangerous cheeses in the world. People were saying, this is French, this is typical, JF eats it every day. No, it's not French. No, I don't eat this every day, but it's a cheese with worms.
This is the most dangerous cheese in the world. It's Casu Marzu cheese from Sardinia, Italy, because there are thousands of maggots on this cheese. So many people are afraid to try, but it's also the presence of maggots. That's what gives this cheese its unique taste and texture.
This is where I might never go. I'm not super interested at tasting this. I've tasted a lot of things in my life, and I'm satisfied. I don't need to know what a cheese eaten by maggots tastes. I'm not feeling it, this one. I can eat disgusting things for experience, for experiment. But I don't need to know what maggots taste, nor what a cheese eaten by maggots tastes. Unknown German scientist Craig Rugenhagen comes forward as the real Satoshi Nakamoto. That was people memeing about Craig Wright. Here they gave Craig Wright a German name, Craig Rugenhagen. Suggesting that Craig Wright will pursue his claim that he is Satoshi Nakamoto, but this time under a different identity. That is funny. If Satoshi Nakamoto has that much mustache, I'd be surprised, because I imagine him as a lean guy, coder, just not eating much, just sitting all day in the dark. No mustache. No, not such a long and well cared for mustache. That cannot be Satoshi Nakamoto. The government school system has become more of a jobs program for adults than an education initiative for kids. That graph is super important. It tells you what the reality of the public school system is. The public school system is social welfare. for a selected subset of the population, kind of selected at random, kind of selected on the basis that they get into the studies to get that job and they get that diploma. But look at this, the growth of employees starting at zero has normalized to 2016. More and more employees in the public school system. Employees, while the actual attendance of the schools is reduced. So if it was about the children, you would have the employees would follow the number of students, maybe with some lag, maybe with some reorganizational delay, latency, but it would ultimately follow the children. It's not what we see. The public school system is there to employ a bunch of people who would be completely useless to the free market. That is what it is. Johnny Danger says, Satoshi's facial hair has to be decentralized. Modular beard. Independent nodes of hair. Real Base Talk says, that's because you need one for every retard. Yes, but I understand the joke. But in reality, we're not serving retards better in the current public school system. There is no measurable, taking the bottom and pulling them up by the current public school system. There is only, as far as I can see, a reduction of the elites, a reduction of the advanced courses, a reduction of the path of the intelligent kid ends up having their energy drained by current public school because they pour all these resources, yes, on retards, but they're not helping them in a measurable way. Just Pearly Things is absolutely right on this one. Men have to lie to us. That's what happens when you bring women into the workplace. I have to lie to them. Oops. We have the leftists are back at Twitter and therefore videos don't play.
Does men have to lie to us? They have to. They have to, filter the truth because most men will lose too much if they tell us the truth. You know, they go to work, they say the wrong thing, human resources, cuts them. You know, they say the wrong thing online, they could also lose their job. And you know, they say the wrong thing to a woman on a date, she won't see you again. So I realize that men constantly...
DK Shadow says, you can't handle the truth. Exactly.
In this society, are forced to lie to us and filter the truth.
You're accurate.
And this is what I was saying. Ultimately, women are going to get what they deserve. You can either have a edgy guy who will be uncomfortable at times, but who will stick to the truth. Or you can have the lie that you request so much that through your actions, whenever you dismiss the artist of the world and whenever you try to repress socially the people who are bizarre, who are telling you things that are taboo, you're making the choice of the lie and you're ultimately farming into humanity, the male normie. The male normie, if that's your thing, you go for it, but I wouldn't be excited at spending the rest of my life with the male normie. Can you, like, the beta, just a regular barbecue guy who's not racist, like, who will tell you how much he has a black friend? I mean, holy shit, that must be painful. But this is what you deserve.
That's a very... Because it's no different than the argument that I make about, the media and corporate America is training everybody to lie to black people.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody has to go on the...
That is true. But because ultimately the movements of lying to black people is a feminine contribution to society. Censorship is headed by females or gays at the top of departments of safety teams. It is a feminine push to be asking people not to say the truth.
The internet, or go on camera at CNN or wherever and say, man, the police are just out here randomly killing black men. It's, man, every time I step outside, I may get killed by the police. Everybody knows that's a lie and that's not reality.
Yeah.
That's what you have to say in order to survive in those environments. And you're arguing that in order to survive in the work environment, yeah, in a relationship environment, you have to sit around and pretend, you know what, baby, I want to hear everything. You're just as smart as me. You're as smart as, and I just have to put this, we're equals.
Yeah.
And we really don't believe that.
Mm.
But you can never explain to women that they should just accept the male brain. Women are pre-programmed to detect these things. The only thing you can have is segregation, which is what the ancient society had, as ancient as like 80 years ago, maybe. We had bars where only men go. We had spaces at work where only men are working. And all of these spaces have been invaded to some extent, except, of course, the workplaces that are physically hard. That somehow we kept it as a male space. But other than this, those spaces have been invaded. And it's like, it's not even your fault, ladies, that your presence, your mere presence, is an oppression to the male brain. Because the fact that you're present, there was this experiment around birds. And they found that birds that are practicing their singing for courtship, the singing is much more loose when there's no bird around. If there's a bird of the opposite sex around, the singing gets much more tight, much less random. And it turns out that the birds were loose in their practice sessions when they knew they were alone, because that looseness was useful to teach themselves the song. Variability in the performance is necessary for a learning entity to progress forward. I have to be wrong before I get it right. That is what the birds were doing when they were learning to sing, and it's the same thing for men. The simple presence of a woman around us is oppressive to our cognition. Now imagine a woman who's our boss. Imagine a woman who controls the Department of Safety at YouTube, who can decide that I'm losing my show. That is terrifying. Terrifying. And it's not even your fault. You should just be a woman and accept segregation. But we can't get this because of a labyrinth of legal standards that we've forced upon ourselves, of non-discrimination, and of looking for equal spread everywhere. But equal spread is not desirable, especially when it causes these oppression by existence effect. The TikTok US CEO, Xu Zishu, that's his name, Xu Zishu, Xu Zishu, looks absolutely terrified here. Look at the eyes. Wouldn't be surprised if he's in fear of his life. Well, of course, he is representing a website that's just trying to do something free on the internet, and he's getting basically pursued by the scariest force on the planet, the American intelligence community. Just because he won't participate, by the way, to their psyops. I mean, if they had a good reason, but no, they're pissed that TikTok will not shape their content to fit the psyop agenda of the U.S.
So this is pre-planned. My trip to D.C. was pre-planned, and there's a lot of misinformation out there, and I intend to clarify it. You know, there's a lot of noise, but I haven't heard, you know, exactly what we've done that's wrong. As you know, it's very disappointing for us that the bill passed in the House of Representatives. You know, we looked at it. This is a banned bill. you know, in this form, if it's passed into law, this is a ban on our app in this country. It's going to impact 170 million Americans who use our app. It's going to impact 7 million small businesses, and I hope their voices are heard.
But lawmakers okay. are saying Thank that you. This is not Thank a ban, you. And you're spreading this.
Okay, I don't see. I think that the description was exaggerated. I don't see an intense emotional fear here. But yeah, I mean, it's really unjust what is being done to TikTok. SCOTUS unanimously rules 9-0. Public officials can be sued for blocking users on social media. Official posts are part of their job, and blocking constituents from commenting violates the First Amendment. It's okay. The problem is, we all know the trick with the Twitter files. It's never really a government agent saying, ban this guy. It's a government agent saying, hey, Twitter managers, do you want to do our weekly meetings where we discuss things that may violate your rules that you may want to take action on? And so, yeah, you give me a right to sue, but I have no way, if I get banned from Twitter or Facebook, I have no way to get all of these documents, to get the proof that I was the subject to a governmental discrimination. They won't give me the info that allows me to trace back what was the governmental request that led me to be banned. And ultimately, even if you have this finding by the Supreme Court, what government agents are going to do is they're going to know about it and they will prepare in accordance. They will have the private industry, organizations like those funded by the Soros and others, and these people will specialize in making lists of people to ban, and they will constitute they will make it indirect, the link between government and private organization. They will basically be the bridge. They will ask government, who do you want us to ban? And then they'll get these people banned. And even if it wasn't the government at all, this is the problem with First Amendment being limited to public officials. Why is it fair for business interference to be made such that another private entity decides that I can't speak? How is it that in a world that is supposed to have laws that are anti-competitive, we have laws against anti-competitive actions? How is it that in this world, my competitor, CNN, Fox News, can decide that I'm banned from YouTube? There may be no Trump trials before the election, as all criminal cases have been pushed back due to unforeseen delays. This is all drainage. I'm not surprised because justice is slow, but they were trying to make it happen as fast as they could. But it would have been kind of weird that they got to it that fast, which is why when they launched all of these prosecutions, I was surprised that they were launching it that late, because knowing that it takes years to get to a trial, they were way too late to be in, but they still did it just to scratch Trump, to take his energy. And Trump, I don't know if I should be that enthusiastic about him, because now we have Ben Shapiro joining the Trump team. Wow. Wow.
Most of you know I'm voting for Donald Trump in November. I've said so many, many times at this point. But I'm not just voting for Donald Trump. Next week, I will be co-hosting a fundraiser for him. Now, this may come as a surprise to some of you. I want to tell you why. As you know, I didn't support Trump in the primaries. I don't endorse candidates in Republican primaries, but I do tell you who I would have voted for. And I told you I would have voted for Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida if given the choice. But Ron DeSantis isn't the nominee. Donald Trump is the nominee. And he's facing Joe Biden, who is the worst president of my lifetime. Because Donald Trump is the nominee against Joe Biden, I won't just vote for him. I will walk over broken glass to vote for him. Actually, I will go into my own pocket to support him, which is what I'm doing. My calculus is really simple. America was better off under Donald Trump than it is under Joe Biden. At home, America was safer and more prosperous. When Donald Trump was president, we did not have an open border. We were not flooding our country with at least 7 million illegal immigrants, overwhelming our cities, leaving our country wide open to the plague of Chinese and Mexican drug cartel-backed fentanyl poisoning. When Donald Trump was president, we didn't have a president who tried to use the Occupational Safety and Health Administration to force 80 million Americans to take a vaccine or lose their jobs. And my company didn't have to sue to stop it. When Donald Trump was president...
It seems that Trump saying we need to clean out Gaza. How did he term it? We need to eradicate the problem completely. That is as close as an appeal to an explicit appeal to ethnic cleansing as I've ever heard. We have to eradicate the problem completely. It seems that this has been a charming song to the ears of the Zionist. And so now Ben Shapiro raising money for Trump. I didn't expect this one. But when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Trump has always been keeping in his shirt, you know, under his wrist. He has always been keeping his Jew card. He's never been disavowing the Jews. At some point, he expressed being kind of disappointed by how he was treated by the Jews, saying they should be my best supporters because I helped them so much. But never has he been going after the Zionist project. And he's been confirming lately through many small comments in interviews that we have to side with Israel. There's no choice. We have to protect Israel. So there's no revolution to be expected on this aspect. Trump will be, like everyone before on this aspect, still subservient to the Jews.
We didn't have 40-year highs in inflation and decreasing real wages. When Donald Trump was president, we didn't have a federal attempt to teach children that boys can be girls and vice versa, or to force taxpayers to subsidize.
Now, I agree with all this, which is why ultimately I'm good with Trump. America was better with Trump, correct.
As abortion.
But the grinding of rights by the left under Trump unfortunately continues at the state level. Trump may have paused their progression at the federal level. He hasn't even really fought back. He's just paused their progression. The left kind of didn't gain much ground, but they go through the state and you look at what they did with COVID. Under a Trump, they can totally violate your individual rights and the federal government will not be there fighting for you. That really sucks.
Or to target religious institutions for the great crime of upholding traditional Judeo-Christian values. When Donald Trump was president...
Judeo-Christian is, at this point in 2024, if you say it, basically you're a Jew. Judeo-Christian has been so ridiculed in memes of the right that at this point, there's only Jews to be saying it.
President, we didn't have an administration hell-bent on stymieing the police in their attempts to fight crime, or an administration that values diversity and inclusion and wokeness above military readiness, all in the name of equity. When Donald Trump was president, we did not have American businesses preparing to have their incomes robbed from them in the name of the biggest spending programs in American history. When Donald Trump was president, we didn't have unconstitutional attempts to simply wipe away student loan debt or a Department of...
But we had unconstitutional attempts to subvert the election process, to subvert individual medical rights. So it's not like it was perfect. And Trump has his weaknesses. And I'm afraid that if a Ben Shapiro comes to support him, it's because Ben Shapiro knows that he has exactly the kind of right weaknesses that he intends to use.
Justice dedicated to the targeting of political opposition. When Donald Trump was president, the world was not on fire. When Donald Trump was president, we did not cut and run.
Well, some of the world was on fire. And it was on CNN, and they were saying, fiery but peaceful protest. Part of the world was on fire under Trump, yes.
In the face of 8th century barbarians in Afghanistan, who blew up 13 American soldiers, hunted down our allies, and reestablished Al-Qaeda bases. When Donald Trump was president, peace was breaking out in the Middle East between Arab nations and Israel, and Iran was in a box. We certainly did not have a multi-front hot war between Iranian proxies and American allies, or American soldiers directly, and we weren't trying to pay billions in bribes to the Iranian mullahs.
True, but you're being subversive here about it, Ben, because you're happy with what is being done in Gaza right now. So here, you're actually touching my heart as an anti-war guy. You are raising an anti-war argument. But how subversive of you to raise this argument, knowing that you're actually happy with the current war. You're happy that Gaza is getting carpet bombed. You're happy that Gaza can be eventually recolonized by Jews, right? So it feels bad. It feels bad to hear a guy make an argument that I agree with. I agree that under Trump, the Middle East tension was reducing. But don't you make this argument if you like high Middle Eastern tension. If you like the fact that Trump isn't there right now, allowing you to do exactly what you want with Gaza. You are closer to Joe Biden, Ben Shapiro, on the Israeli question than Trump. Trump might have put some brakes on Bibi Netanyahu as to what's happening in Gaza. He might have just made a threat. He might have gone into the media and say, hey, if Israel doesn't calm down, I'm going to do something that a president has never done before. That is totally the type of Trump threat you would have. Joe Biden won't do this. So in a way, you are happy you got your 4 years of Joe Biden to do what you wanted to do in Israel. Now you're comfortable going back to Trump.
When Donald Trump was president, we didn't have a war in Ukraine. When Donald Trump was president, we didn't have China threatening imminent blockade of Taiwan. When Donald Trump was president, America was better off. Now, as I've said, I will always be honest with you about Donald Trump. He was not my first choice in the primaries. He's a deeply flawed human. I've been open in my criticisms of Trump on both character and policy, and I'm not going to stop criticizing Donald Trump when I disagree with him. I always will be honest about that, and I always will. That's my job. It's the job of all Americans, because Donald Trump, as a presidential candidate, works for us. But Donald Trump is the man standing between America and a second Joe Biden term. And a second Joe Biden term means America is in dire, dire trouble. It is that simple. I encourage all of you who, like me, would have preferred another nominee for the GOP to recognize this is now a binary race. It is Trump or it is Biden. And unlike in 2016, we don't have to guess at what a Trump administration will be. We also don't have to guess what a Biden administration will be. We know America cannot afford another term of Joe Biden, or perhaps more realistically, a Kamala Harris term.
All right. Well, I still root for Trump for the very same reasons that are stated by Ben Shapiro here. But there will be problems with a Trump presidency, let me tell you. I don't know. Did Trump promise that there would be no forever war under him? Because he did promise this for 2016. Trump will betray us again, says Friedrich C. Yeah, and it's kind of showing much clearer this time than it even did last time. So yeah, I expect betrayal. But I guess Trump is still a better betrayal than Joe Biden. We have here a man who went into a time machine in 1920 and from America 1920 and arrived in America 2024. He saw that there were people improperly using their buggies. They're carrying vehicles, and he tried to punish them by hitting them with some kind of a bag. But he didn't realize that 2024 has changed. This is not the America of 1920. Let's see what he did. He's trying to stop the road shows, probably because he wanted to sleep. No, 2024... you're basically going to be stampeded on by the people of the streets. You can't go out there and try to impose decency and law. Lendald Gontram says, a normalization in our sense is not practically possible. America will have to fall at some point. Absolutely. I think that is correct. There is no path where America self-fixes using the tool of democracy. So America must run its course until the system is unviable and there's too many pissed off people. That is clearly not the case for now. It may not be the case for a century. Here we have a young boy trying to come and steal an Amazon package, but AI comes to the rescue.
Camera recording.
I was just joking. Are y'all home? Oh, man. Okay. Bye.
Oh, my God. I love those cameras. Do get those cameras. I personally have many, many cameras. I love having a whole view of the land, of the surroundings of the house. It is so reassuring because when you don't have cameras, you just never know where the threats can come from. When you have cameras, you don't have to care about it. Whenever the worry comes to your mind, you just look at your cameras and, oh, everything is okay. No threat in sight. I would see them coming in advance. Perfect. So I have some time of safety where I can expect nothing to happen. Even the children are a lost cause. Yeah, there's this problem that the culture of these communities, they develop down to the point of teaching children very quickly in life the elements of thievery. And so you end up having... You basically can't let anything of value on your land. You know, in my life, I can leave stuff on my land. I can leave a $1,000, $2,000 object, machine of some kind, just right there on my land, and it will stay there forever. I do this in North Carolina. The thing would disappear within a week. I can't even save. Americans are getting absolutely crushed under enormous debt load. While Joe Biden insists that Americans are doing great, suggesting in his State of the Union address last week that our economy is the envy of the world, Americans are being absolutely crushed by inflation, quarterly net charge-offs, and leading this increase are credit card loans, with delinquencies that haven't been this high since Q3 2011. So here you have a massive increase of people paying off their credit card with a credit card loan, which in itself is a big problem. You have charge-offs that are on the high. Yeah, this is what a Joe Biden administration will do, but we knew this. Everyone who voted for Joe Biden must have known this was going to happen. So here's the video of the New York subway incident where a black man got shot, they say, in the head. I haven't seen straight video evidence that it was in the head. But a black man got shot with his own gun. And this whole incident makes me realize how much we need to change the legal standing of self-defense. One thing that is annoying with self-defense laws is that basically you need to risk your life before you can self-defend. You need to let the guy get out a deadly weapon, or you need to let the guy build up a situation where you might very well die. And so another way to say this is you have to risk dying before you can even self-defend. What we need to do is we need to make it such that a certain degree of verbal assault should be a sufficient justification to eliminate the threat. If someone yells at me for more than 10 seconds, I think I should have the right to shoot them. It's quite simple. Like, tell me your message in less than 10 seconds. If you have aggressivity inside of you, I can tolerate 10 seconds of you yelling at me. If you go above 10 seconds and it's on video, you should be able to eliminate the threat, because, or else what? The guy can follow you for hours in the subway, yelling at you, threatening you. At what point am I allowed to self-defend? It should be 10 seconds, that point, in my view. Because look at how a 10-second rule here would have solved all of it. Oh yeah, I need to refresh the page. So here, the black guy says to a random Hispanic man here, and the Hispanic man is with his girlfriend, and he says, I will beat you up. I should have the right to self-defend and to escalate the neutralization means. That is, if you are threatening to beat me up, I should be able to shoot you. Because if you beat me up, you can put me unconscious. And then what? Then you're going to hit my head with your foot while I'm unconscious on the ground, on the concrete. I will beat you up. So clearly this is not a black guy that is trying to flee a conflict. This is not a black guy that's being victimized. Clearly, if there's one conflict avoidance being done, here it's on the side of the Hispanic man. This black guy is looking for trouble. The woman seems to argue a little bit about migrants or whatever. I don't know if she's saying that she feels discriminated against as a migrant. I have no clue. Get off me, get off me. That's one thing to women. When you are accompanied by males, when you are with your boyfriend or your husband, never seek conflict with anyone in public space. Let the husband handle, and if the husband is shutting up, it is a sign to you that there are dangers and that escalation may put you in a dangerous situation. So woman, like do like in Arab countries, put yourself in a black bag. I don't care what you do, but control your speech. You never want to escalate conversation with a schizo black guy. There is nothing to gain from it. You're not going to win an argument. Even if you win, no one will be there to congratulate you, and you're just putting yourself in danger. So here the woman should have stopped the argument, but of course she's also responding to a guy who clearly is being aggressive toward them. I'm black, fuck you. Fuck your kind. Race. Fuck your race. And he's talking to this Hispanic man and the girl here. So fuck you, fuck your kind, fuck your race. If any of you move, I will beat you up. Congratulations, the first black woman to ever film anything without yelling. That is pure poetry. We get to see the actual event.
I'm
If any of you move, I'm gonna break you up. Now, at this point, technically, they have gotten kidnapped. If you have a violent guy displaying violent threat, saying, if you move, I'm going to hurt you, you are the subject of kidnapping and extortion. In my view, there should not be even prosecution here. I should have the right to shoot my kidnappers. So the guy steps up, says, let's do it, bro.
Move, baby gun.
There's babies on here.
What you trying to do? What are you trying to do?
There's still people with masks in the New York subway. I can't believe this. Okay, so exchanges of fists. Now the black guy is dominating and hitting him while he's down. Now, I want you to realize what just happened. The girlfriend of the black guy pulled a knife and just stabbed the black guy. The girlfriend of the Hispanic guy just pulled a knife and planted it into the black guy's back. It might have been a little early to do this, okay? There is a situation in which stabbing a black guy in the back because he's eating your boyfriend, there's a situation where it's justified, but try to de-escalate without getting to deadly tools. Because if the black guy has a gun, now he got attacked by a knife, and so he has a justification to pull out his gun. So you don't want to do these passive-aggressive, just little stabbing like this. Because first, it's not really contributing to the safety of your boyfriend. It's not going to stop the black guy. It's really escalating. You are putting arguments against you. You're giving arguments for the other side to pull a gun. And now while there's a gun, your knife is worth nothing. And you've done nothing with your little passive-aggressive stab. Let's look at the stab here, okay? It's this girl who is the girlfriend of the Hispanic guy getting hit. She has something maybe here or here. She's gonna stab him here. She's currently swinging. She's going to stab, stab. You saw how she stabbed him? Stab, stab, two stabs of knives right here in on the side hip. She's a keeper, says Dead World. And now the black guy is like, what? You gonna stab me? Now the black guy felt some pain in his back. And look, suddenly we see the blood starting to spill. The lady did stab successfully the black guy. And he's like, you stabbed me? You stabbed me? Now he's asking, you stabbed me? This shows what I was talking about. Now, this guy has an argument to pull out a gun. He just got stabbed.
Get him off of him. I'm behind you, bro. Come on. Get him off of him.
The thing is, you want to you want to wait and see if the falling of your boyfriend will resolve the situation, because they were still in the hitting phase. You have to check, is he hitting on my unconscious boyfriend who's defenseless? Then perhaps there's stabbing justified in that he could kill him. But we hadn't reached that point yet. So it was kind of an error, and it was precautious here to stab the black guy. So here there's a black construction worker that's coming, and he will try to lower the tensions and say, give it up, both of you. Let's stop all of this. If you stab me, I will knock you off. Now the black guy wants vengeance for the stabbing onto the girl. I don't know if the black guy has pulled out the gun yet. He may not. He's pointing stuff, but I think it's a belt, a metal piece. I don't think he has the gun yet. I don't know, is that a cell phone maybe? Maybe it's a cell phone.
You savvy, right? You savvy, right? You savvy?
It looks like he's looking for his gun in his coat here. Yeah, I don't know if he said knock her up or knock her off, or I understand it as he wants to put her unconscious. Okay, it was an ammo clip maybe on the seat, so he's looking for the gun that goes with this ammo clip. Now he has a gun, it seems, and he has loaded it. So now, I mean, you have a black guy with a gun who's like, you stabbed me, I'm gonna... Now people of the metro, of the subway will be scared. They start running.
Let me out!
Ah, there we go. She couldn't help it. She had done a full documentary filming. No yelling, no noise. She had done a perfect job up to then. But now she couldn't help it. She released the classic black woman yell on all videos you'll ever see. It seems that there was one shot, boom, and then three shots, boom, boom, boom. And
that's no good.
Someone filming the scene after all of this, we were able to see that it was ultimately the black guy somehow who was neutralized by the bullets. So somehow the gun must have changed hand from the black guy, perhaps trying to shoot toward the girl. And the boyfriend coming in to defend his girl, and at this point is taking the gun and shooting the black guy, may have been his only option to protect his girlfriend. Because it seems that the black guy had intent to kill his girlfriend. So here you can see the Hispanic guy being kind of in a position for arrest with handcuffs.
You're right.
Or maybe not handcuffs, maybe it's a watch, but anyways, he's being arrested.
What happened? Huh? You all right?
Let's go,
Míralo. Aquí adentro, que estaba tirando los tiros. Míralo ahí, ese.
And we see the black guy is still moving on the floor. So I don't know that he got like his whole head blown. I can see his head.
Mira.
He has some movement, but he may have received one of these four bullets or many of these four bullets. Listen, in the end, we're talking about a guy who has overly harassed a couple, threatened them with violence, threatened them with kidnapping, effectuated the kidnapping, physically assaulted them. You can say whatever you want about the girl. Maybe the stabbing is an assault that needs to be treated by the law in and of itself. And perhaps she is innocent because she truly believed that her boyfriend was about to get killed by being hit on while he was unconscious on the floor. You can say whatever you want about the dagger attack there, but still, in the end, what you have is a Hispanic man at the end who saw a black man who was pulling a gun to kill his girlfriend. It's very likely he said, I'm going to knock you off because you stabbed me. And he pulls a gun. So it seems to me that it's a Hispanic man seeing that his girlfriend was about to be killed, somehow successfully neutralized the gun of the black guy, took it or perhaps redirected it in the hand of the black guy and eventually ended up killing the black guy or maybe just injuring him. I don't know if they will be able to save him. In my view, you have to make these actions legal or else you're going to have schizos harassing people on the everyday and terrorizing your population until no one decent lives in a given area. So, in my view, legalize self-defense after 9 seconds. If you can be on the record yelling at me for 10 seconds violently, I should have the right to shoot you. This is going to fix the problem. All conflicts across leftist cities in America will be reduced down to 9 seconds. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Rudy Lacid says, and the Hispanic guy was on his way to a job interview, but will be late now. Everybody loses. Yes, I mean, it's disruptive to society. This is why I don't think that leftist society can even survive long term. They have too much of these problems living inside. There's too many enemies inside. Like, you're getting on this public transport at super low cost because you're going to have this super low salary to live in that super high cost apartment. And on top of it, you have to handle the schizos that the state wasn't able to neutralize through other forms of prosecution. It's an unsolvable problem, what the leftists are trying to construct as cities. That is it for tonight, Buzz. Much love. I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.